Devin, I'm glad you're okay.
Love Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Oh, good evening, and welcome to ScaryCast. As much fun as you can possibly have on the dark side. Oh, I don't know what. It's a lot of fun. We got paranormal stuff coming all around. First of all, the First Lady of ScaryCast, Robin McCray Haynes. How are you doing tonight? Robin Haynes McCray.
I am doing great.
Too excited.
I am doing great. Glad to be here with all my guys.
We're glad you're here. We really are. Anyway, we'll talk about. Yeah, I know. We've missed your bubbly personality this week. I mean, we're glad you're back. And now comes our right-hand guy in Hollywood, California, who has made it through the week, and I think he's still smiling. Devin Tate, how are you doing tonight, Devin?
Hey, John, I'm really good. It's great to have Robin back with us again, and good to be here with you. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a special, special night on ScaryCast. We're really excited. It's going to be coming. Sometimes our guest, Shane Hollis, has to work late, so when he comes tonight, he's going to talk about paranormal technology, and he's going to turn on his spirit box, and we're going to hopefully talk to some spirits tonight on ScaryCast. The only place on internet radio you can talk to spirits, unless Jack Daniels or Evan Williams comes by, then you can talk to those spirits. Oh, nobody laughed at that joke. Come sorry.
I got some Jack Daniels here with me.
Okay, all right, well, that's good. I just got some wine. I'm just trying to chill out here.
Well, if these things don't settle down, I don't need Jack Daniels.
I can just imagine. Yeah, we were on. I'm just fresh off Papa Stroke WCW Retro, and it was just amazing. We had too much fun. Papa Stroke will be joining us as soon as he wraps up his show, like he normally does. We're always glad to have Papa Stroke. And then Shane will be here as soon as he gets situated from all the grand stuff that he does during the day. And we're very glad to have him. So I wanted to start out by asking Robin about the Bigfoots, because I know it has been, we've had the coronavirus, and they seem to have disappeared a bit. And I don't know how they're doing with the riots. But so tell us, what's going on with the Bigfoots?
Well, I think when it comes to the riots and stuff, they're going to lay low. I mean, really. I know I'm not in town, fortunately. So, and we've had a small amount of it here. I'm very fortunate that it's not worse than it is. I mean, there's been a few issues, but not nearly as bad as what, per se, Devin goes through. They're hiding out in the woods. Like, they're activists to me at my place. It doesn't slow them down at all. But health-wise, I think they're holding their own. I mean, I still get some that come in sick now and then, but for the most part, you know, they're not doing as bad as what they could be. There are places that they can go where the virus doesn't seem to be able to sustain. And we've had a lot of people encourage their clans that they interact with to do that. But they seem to be on the upsweep of coming back. A lot of people have been contacting me and, you know, asking me, you know, when are they coming back? I don't know. They don't, I mean, Lord knows they're not going to do what I tell them to. But I keep telling them, you know, they've got their own lives, their own business, and they will be back. And I've gotten probably 4 or 5 phone calls in the last week from people going, oh, my God, you're right. They're back. So they're hiding out in the woods. They're not as much going into towns, I think, as they normally would, per se. You know, there's a lot of gunfire. There's a lot of people, a lot of noise right now with all the looting and the problems going on. And they're going to avoid it. You know, people don't realize just how much they do go into town. They'll go into town and get in the dumpsters. They'll go into town and watch people. I mean, they really do. And people don't realize the full extent of how much they do that. But they're kind of sitting back right now.
Great. Well, that's a wonderful Bigfoot update. Who knows what will be happening in the next couple of weeks. I know that I haven't had much going on around here Bigfoot-wise. It's actually been mostly spirits. And that's one reason I'm glad we got...
little people. You have little people.
And some spirits. Now. And so since we're going to be talking about spirit communication, technology and all that, why don't you, Robin, because you're very familiar with spirit communication, have you had much interaction with spirit boxes, or is it primarily something you just do personally as a psychic, I guess?
A little bit. Yeah, I've had a little bit. I've had the spirit boxes. I've had, you know, the recorders where they do EVPs. I don't, per se, use them a lot. Have I worked with people that have them? Absolutely. The reason I don't really do that is because I mind speak so much. I don't have to do it. Have I done it? Yes. And it is kind of entertaining, and it's kind of neat. We, you know, if you remember correctly, John, when we were in Clayton, Georgia, remember, we had Jan Carter with us and Don Tart, William Henry, myself. Elise was there, our friend that had rented the house for us, and we had a spirit box going. And Janice decided she was going to try to, you know, talk to the spirit box, and it called her a foul name.
Really?
You know?
Now, I was not there. I was actually in Lakemont partaking of the woods and looking around for Bigfoot.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yep.
No, she tried to make contact, and a little girl came forward and was talking on the voice box, was mind speaking with me as well. And, you know, she had said, "Look out, there's a bad man here." And then right after she said that, a man's voice came over the spirit box and got nasty with Janice. I think he called her a bitch or something like that. But, I mean, the little girl was frightened. She kind of stepped back, and she went back to just mind speaking. You know, and we have, for years, I've always had spirits in my house. John, you know that. You've been here. And we have a small child that runs around, as well as an older gentleman. And in previous houses, I've never been in a house that didn't have them. And at one place that I lived at, a friend of mine was an investigator. He dealt with paranormal and spirits and dogmen and Bigfoots and everything. And he came out and did EVPs. And as you also know, John, I have a ton of animals, more than I should. And I did at that time as well. And there was a little girl that came on the EVP, and she kept calling me mommy. Because she probably, you know, she wasn't with her mom anymore, and she heard my kids call me mom. So she was just trying to latch on to somebody. And I had seen her several times. And she was on there. She said, "Mommy, can I play with my kitty? Mommy, can I play with my kitty?" And then she was talking about the pretty kitty. And, of course, we had cats at the time, so we knew what she was talking about. But I was actually laying in bed one night watching TV. I was wide awake. And I just happened to turn my head to the left. And when I did, she was kneeling. She was on my bed. She was kneeling, and she had her hands up like she was saying her prayers. And she had an old-fashioned white nightgown on with a high collar. And she had brown hair, short little bob-cut bob hair. She was the most precious thing ever. But I just sit there, and I stared at her. And she kind of looked at me, and then she put her head back down and went back to praying. And then, like an idiot, because I watched her long enough, I put my hand out to touch her, and when I did, it was just like it all dissipated.
Wow. What period would you set her in? I mean, modern?
I would say 17 to 1800s.
That must have been a little freaky, wasn't it?
Did you know what? You would think so, but it was like, it was such a peaceful thing. It really was. I didn't get frightened or anything. I just kind of looked at her, and there was so much peace that it was just like, it was really a good experience. I mean, she's not the only ghost I've seen. I've seen just a countless amount of them, but that one is one that I think was one of my favorites, just because she had that peaceful quality to her. And we would see her all over the place. You'd see her running from room to room. We had seen her multiple times before that night. We were in the car one day. I mean, literally in the car driving, and my son was just an infant at the time, and I turned around to check, and he was in his car seat. And I look, and she was sitting right there, and then, boom, she was gone again. I'm like, okay, now you're not even staying in the house. Now you're in the car.
Very interesting. Now, just trying to think. I don't normally get to ask questions from someone who's had so many experiences. But when did her experiences with you start going away? Was it when you left that house?
Yeah, but I don't necessarily, I'm going to be completely honest. I moved from that house to another house, and she showed up there for a while. And eventually they got farther and farther apart, and she just left. But I had moved away from the area, and I think she was more, she wanted to stay in that house. I mean, that was, I think, primarily where she was. And the first house I moved to after that was only a couple miles away. And I only saw her once or twice then. But every house I've lived in has been a different spirit. And at one time, I was an assistant manager to a bed and breakfast. And they had live-in managers that were there. And when they wanted time off, if they were going to be gone, they called me and I would come in and I'd manage this bed and breakfast. And I walked in it the first time, and nobody told me that it was haunted. And because there was, you know, all these suites upstairs. And I saw this little girl, and she ran down the staircase. So I followed her down the staircase over, and she ran by the front door. And I knew she was a spirit, you know. And so when the people came in that were normally managing it, before they were going to tell me that the place was haunted. Well, they never got a chance because I said, who's the little girl that lives here? And they looked at me kind of funny. I said, I'm serious. Who's the ghost girl that lives here? And I described her to a T. And they said that it was a family that at one point in time had lived there that was a daughter, and they had found a picture of her in the attic. And I described it perfectly. Well, what had happened was that particular house was actually owned at one time. I believe it was Al Capone owned it. And he had kept it so that any of his employees had a place to go and his tax accountants and that kind of thing. And I'm almost positive it was Capone, but it had a lot of dark history to it. They had a basement in that place, and you could not pay me money to go in that thing. I had to go down there two or three times to get different decorations for the house because this was a huge, like, mansion-type house. It was not a little house. And it was very elaborate, and there were, like, 8 rooms for the bed and breakfast on the lower half, and then there were 4 massive suites upstairs. And it was probably a house from, I want to say, 1600s, 1700s. It was huge. And we would go downstairs to go get decorations for a different time of year, and you could tell exactly where that thing, that it was a male, and it was more than one. And I always got the impression that it was some kind of soldiers that were in there and that they were not good. They were more like of a mercenary type. And he was awful, but those never came up out of the basement. I never felt like they were a problem in there. Once in a while, you'd hear something walking down on the first floor in the hallway. But that little girl was all over that house. And most people that came and stayed there would comment about this little blonde-headed girl that was running up and down the hallways. And she was absolutely precious. She had long blonde hair and bangs, and she had a hat, looked like a straw hat. She had an old-fashioned dress on. And she was just a delight. But I've never been anywhere that didn't have a spirit. I don't know if they show up after I'm there. Like now where I'm at now, we've got an adult older man, and we've got a young girl. And I did find out that at one point in time, there was a little girl that used to live here and passed away, but she didn't pass away while she was here. Whether or not that's her, she's never really said. Like she'll talk and she'll say little things here and there. Toys get moved around a lot. We have a bonus room, and then we have 3 bedrooms and a bonus room upstairs. And one of the rooms has my grandchildren's toys in it, and we're forever, the toys get moved all over the place up there. I mean, just all over. We never know if it's the spirits. We never know if it's the Bigfoot kids that come up there. We don't know who's doing it, but they get moved all over. But now when you were here that night, you clearly saw somebody walk up those stairs.
Well, see, it was actually it was in an afternoon. It was in an afternoon.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, I've had two really interesting experiences. One was we were all sitting in the living room, and I heard a girl run upstairs, and I jumped and went, and there was nobody there. That's when you explained that to me. But then and this was more recent. This was a little creepy. Now I was laying there on the bed. I had woken up a little bit, and I heard somebody walking up the stairs. And I mean, you know, you have a lot of people there sometimes, people coming and going.
I
said, oh, it must just be one of your daughters or Holly or somebody had to go downstairs to get a drink of water. Who knows? So they came up, and then I heard them go right back down the stairs. Then I heard them come right back up the stairs, and I said, now, I don't know about that. So what I did was I waited until they got to the very top of the stairs. The door to that bedroom, I burst it open, I cut the light on, and there was nobody there. And that was interesting. I mean, because, I mean, I know what I heard, and I could hear them, you know. So anyway, I just said, oh, well, this is a ghost. And I said, good night. And closed the door, and that was it. Time to get out of here.
Yeah, it's comical because most people that have stayed here, actually, I don't know of anybody that stayed here that hasn't had an experience, but when Janice Carter first stayed here, she was laying in bed, and in the room she was in, we have one bedroom that doesn't have a bathroom, or actually two bedrooms that don't have a bathroom in them, and then one that has a bathroom in it. And she was across from the main bathroom in the hallway, and she literally watched the door close and open, and nobody was there.
The door to the bathroom?
Yeah.
I don't doubt it. Devin, have you ever lived in a place like that? That
active? I would actually love to, though. I would really, I think now, having never lived somewhere like that, it sounds really interesting and fun to be in that situation. But yeah, no, never lived anywhere that had any haunting or ghost, even though I've tried to, you know, tried to investigate it.
Yeah. Well, I mean if you think about it enough, it might happen. Is that right, Robin?
Yep.
Well, so I've lived in this apartment for 15 years now, which is the longest I've ever lived in one place. And there was a person that died in here. This apartment's only ever had one other person before us, and he was a rabbi. And he moved in when the building was built, and he died here in the apartment. But he's never made his presence known in any way. So we're pretty convinced that he passed peacefully and was able to move on to the next room. So he hasn't messed with us at all.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah, I've been fortunate. I will say this. I haven't had a lot of the negative ones that came in. I did at one time, actually in two houses. And it was terrifying. It was demonic. And it got kicked out. The first one, we had moved into this house, and it was very nicely done, but it was a very old house. Very old. And it was myself, my husband, and my two young children. And we had cats. I've always had a ton of animals. But because one of my boys was an infant, we had a basement, and at the top of the basement steps going into the kitchen was a door and then a landing. You open the door, went down two steps, there was a landing, then you went down like eight steps, another landing, and then it turned sideways and you went down four. And my son was an infant. So I, of course, worrying that the baby, you know, the cat would bother the baby, would put all my cats downstairs. And I had like four or five cats. And so at nighttime, that's what I did. And my husband was in the shower. The kids were up. I'd already fed the baby. And I said, well, I'll let the cats up and feed them their breakfast. I went to the basement steps and I opened the steps. Now, I will put my hand on a Bible that this is a true story. I wish it wasn't, but it's a God's honest truth. I opened that door, and one of the cats I had was a black cat. And this cat, there was no blood whatsoever, but this cat, all of its body parts had been removed and laid out like a puzzle. Like the head was separated, the ears were separated, the body was separated, the legs were separated, the paws were separated, the tail was separated. And it was literally laid out on the landing like a perfect puzzle. Except none of the, all the pieces were like about an inch apart from each other. There was not one drop of blood. I never found a drop of blood. I opened that door and I saw that. That's the only time in my life I have ever seen something and just passed out of the shock. So my husband comes running out of the shower, picks me up off the floor. I'm more conscious. I'm like, I can't believe what I just saw. And again, not one drop of blood. There wasn't hair missing. There wasn't hair all over the place. It was like a perfect puzzle. So I go downstairs to find the rest of the cats, and they're all hiding under the staircase. But we had so many things happen in that house, all negative. And it got to the point where we would hear like an acid rock music coming out of our basement. And we didn't play that kind of music. And I'm certainly not going to play it at night while my children are sleeping. And it was a very small house. And the neighbors would constantly call the police because of the noise. And the police would come over and they're like, man, you know, because we were in the city at that point, the one and only time I lived in the city. And the police would come over and say, you know, if you can't, don't quiet down, you're going to be fined or you're going to be ticketed or whatever. And I'm like, I don't even own a radio. I have virtually no way to play this music. If you don't believe me, go down to my basement. Look around. There's no way to play any music. And at first, the police just thought I was trying to get out of getting in trouble. And they finally, the fourth or fifth time, I said, please, I'm begging you, come down here and look, because I don't know what's doing this. And the music was just a blaring, and as soon as he opened the door to go downstairs, it went completely quiet. When we went down, then there's no radio. And we ended up, I told my husband, I said, either you get us out of this house or I'm leaving and I'm taking the kids, because I'm not going to let my kids be here. My kids would wake up, and by this time, I had a new baby and the other two were toddlers. They were taking all their things and their belongings and throwing them out the window of their bedroom. Like, it was bizarre. They weren't even tall enough to reach the window, and the window was closed. And yet I'd go in there and be open, and everything they owned, clothes, toys, bedding, everything out the window. And I talked to one of the neighbors, and she said, that's so funny that those boys do that. And I said, why? She said, well, before you guys had the house, two owners before you, there was a murder in that house. And the dad used to beat these children within an inch of their life, and the kids were continually trying to get away and escape, and they would throw all their things out that same bedroom window and climb out the window to get away.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was awful. It was Halloween, and I had my youngest in the kitchen, and I was applying makeup for his costume and everything, and my 3-year-old was out by the front door, which was locked. And I walked through the dining room towards the living room, and there was this figure leaning through the door, way above his head, had a very sharp, narrow face. It was leaning over, and its hands were reached out towards my son, and it was making the motion for him to come to him, and my son was walking towards the door, and then the door opened. Now, I had that door locked, and the lock was a deadbolt that was higher than my son could get to. That door opened on its own, and my son was right there. I ran through there so fast, it was like my feet were on fire, and I just threw my entire body on the door and just slammed it. Now, the only way you could get on and off my porch, it had a little tiny porch, but the steps went down, and it would go in front of the dining room window. It was virtually impossible to get on that porch without being seen, and I never saw anybody outside that. It was awful. It was absolutely awful. It was a nightmare and a half, and it carried on until we left. And then the other house I had a beautiful rebuilt farmhouse, never had any problems with it. My dad had passed away, and my dad would come there, and I mean, I would see him, and we had good spirits in there, and I don't know what happened. I don't know what brought it in. My daughter was 5 at the time, and I had felt like the energy had kind of shifted in there, but I couldn't find anything wrong, but it just didn't feel right. And she walked into my bedroom. She woke up out of a sound sleep one night, walked into my bedroom. And when she came into the room, she looked like herself. 2 seconds later, it was like her whole body had morphed. And there was this old, creepy-looking woman-type thing. I mean, it would remind you of a funny witch that you would see, like, on TV without the hat. And it was in place of my child. So I started talking to Caitlin, and I'm like, Caitlin, can you answer mommy? And I got no response. It was like I wasn't even there. She was just staring off into space. So I ran up and I grabbed her. And when I grabbed her, she went completely limp. And this thing, whatever the hell it was, ran upstairs and into my daughter's room. So I took her and I put her in bed. I went and got my boys, put them in my room for the night. And I stayed awake while they slept. Next night, I put them on the bus for school. I called into work and I said, oh, we are not doing this. And I went upstairs, and I couldn't get in her room. Tried to get in her room. I couldn't do it. And I had called my mom, who's a devout Catholic, and I said, I need holy oil. She said, for what? And I told her what happened. And she lived about 2 hours away. She immediately drove down with the thing that was blessed by the Catholic Church. And I said, I just want you to leave. And she's like, no, I'm not leaving. I'm just go. So she left and went back home. And I went upstairs, took a Bible, took the holy oil. And I always had crosses in my house. That's just always have. So even having the crosses, I wasn't as protected as I thought I was. So I went upstairs in the room, and the door at that point when I opened it did open. And I took a Bible in there. I took the holy oil in there. And as soon as I sat on the bed, the door locked. And I said, okay, here we go. And I heard a voice say, I want her. And I said, you will never have her. I will see you in hell first. You will not have her. And I started reading scriptures from the Bible. And I had put holy oil, the pastors of the church had said to put it, they wanted it on the kid's forehead, which I did go up to school before I did this and put it on my children. And then above the doorways and above the windows and everything else. And whatever this thing it had to have been, for whatever reason, coming from out of the closet, because things are flying out of the closet. I mean, literally, hangers, toys, clothes, everything's flying out of the closet. And I don't know how long it went on. I remember I was exhausted until it finally stopped. And after it stopped, I never had another problem. But it just kept saying it wanted her. And I said, I will see you in hell first. And I never had another problem. I've gotten rid of demonic entities on people before, but I've never had to do it like on myself. But whatever it was never bothered my daughter or anybody else again in the house. I don't know where it went. I don't know what it was. I don't even know why it was there.
Well, that is interesting. That's very interesting.
More weird than
What? You let him know.
Oh, I can't hear you, sweetie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yep, barely.
Oh, yeah, I think you staked your ground.
Oh, yeah, they were, you know, and again, John knows me. I'm stubborn as can be. I really am. But when you attempt to get near my children, or somebody I love, as my husband puts it, I'm nuclear.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even an option of failure. It was either this thing was leaving or I was going to die trying, because it wasn't even an option. But the funny thing was, right after this gets done, I get a phone call from school telling me I need to go up there because there's a problem with my son Caleb. And now Caleb was 6, maybe, at the time. So I go running, and I'm thinking whatever happened, wherever this entity left to, possibly went after my kids. And I had put the holy oil on them. You know, you did the cross on the forehead, and I blessed them. And I go up there, and they pull me in the office, and they're like, we need to talk to you about Caleb. And I said, what's the matter? And they're like, he thinks he's God. I said, what? And they're like, he says that he's protected by God. And I said, oh, my gosh, it's because I blessed them with the Catholic Church sent me this oil. I put holy oil on him. She said, well, there's a problem with it. And I said, what? She said, apparently you must have said he was protected by God. I said, I did. They wanted to know what it was for. And she says, well, that's great, but he's doing daredevil stunts on the jungle gym because now he says he won't get hurt because now he's protected by God.
I hope you took care of that one.
Oh, yeah. He could have killed himself. He was, like, doing these death-defying things, and his friends were going, Caleb, that's so cool. And he said, Caleb just kept telling him, don't worry about it. Mom says I'm protected by God. I can't get hurt at all. Nothing can touch me. I was like, no.
But it's interesting when you really believe that, it's true.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Never hesitate to call on the angels. You know, I don't get a lot of demonic things. I mean, other than that one with my daughter and whatever that thing was umpteen years ago with a cat. But most of the spirits I get are not demonic. And when I lived in Michigan at one house, it didn't come into the house. It came up, I saw it. It came up floating like from the backwoods. And I knew what it was. And I called my best friend, and I talked to her, and I'm like, this is what's going on. And it said, I mean, it said it was, it came for me from hell, and I'm like, not happening. And we called on Archangel Michael, and I've never had another issue with it. Never saw it again. Michael said it was destroyed. Never saw it again. But I mean, you can call on the angels, but if you call on the angels, you have to be specific. Like, you have to literally put it in words exactly. And I didn't know this for a long time, but you have to put it specifically down to the letter what you want.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So you can call on Archangel Michael and say exactly what you want or need.
Yeah, and, you know, Archangel Michael, Gabriel, you can call. I mean, don't hesitate to call on God. I mean, it's amazing that we will go into church and we will talk to God. And I'm not a person that goes into the church a lot, although I'm a Christian and very religious as far as spiritual and in myself. I talk to God daily. And I think people forget that. I think people forget that you can do that.
That is true. That's very true. So, yeah, it's interesting. I'm sitting here holding my Bible. It's like it's better than an American Express card. You definitely don't want to leave home without it. Because,
exactly.
Well, you really don't. And I guess I told you, Devin, I don't know if I've told you this story. It's an interesting story about, now, Devin, you know our friend, I'll go ahead and mention her first name, Liz from Pop Culture Stars. Devin, you've been on a show with her before, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, and now, Robin, have you been on a show with Liz?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, she's a really sweet girl. She's from Raleigh, North Carolina, and she's the camera girl, camera lady. Not a cameraman, she's a lady, I guess. So, and she does contract work for MTV and VH1, and she's a very fine camera person. So last summer she said, now John, we're doing a show, I can't tell you about it, but you'd really like it, and as soon as they can start doing some publicity, I'll tell you and I'll get you an advance copy. I said, that's great. So she took a leave of absence from Pop Culture Stars for 6 weeks. Obviously, she was, wherever she was, doing this thing. And so she called me up. And it's not like Liz to call me up in the middle of, here's Papa Stroh. I'll let him on. And Papa Stroh, the Maestro of Wrestling, how are you doing?
Wow, John, it's been like just a matter of minutes since we last talked.
It's been 35 minutes, exactly. And we've got Devin. Devin, you can say hey to Papa.
Hi.
Hi, Devin. Yep.
And we have the Queen of Sherry Cass. We have Robin on. Robin, say
hey. Robin.
Hey, babe, how are you?
Doing good. The creek hasn't rose yet, so all is well.
That's great. I was telling the story of when Liz, our friend from Pop Culture Stars, had told me she was doing a paranormal thing, and I would love to hear about it. I said, yeah. She said, as soon as I can, I'll tell you. I said, good. And then she...
Liz. Oh, man. She's great.
Yeah, we love Liz. So she calls me up on a Wednesday afternoon. That was going to be the Wednesday night, the first night she was on leave of absence. And she said, John, I'm going to have to talk to you for a minute because we're actually at a haunted insane asylum, and I'm getting the creeps. I mean, we've been doing some filming and scoping out some, shots and everything, and I've been feeling something creepy kind of around me, and what do I do? And I said, there's a very straightforward solution to that. I said, get you a Bible and pray right before you go anywhere near where you haven't been. She said, well, there may be a problem with that because I'm an atheist. I said, that's problematic now. And so I didn't hear back from her. So the next time she was on the show, I said, so how do things go with your shooting? She said, even though I'm an atheist, I think I took what you meant to to say I am to exude all the positive energy, and I'm not going to let any bad spirits mess with me. And I said that was a good thing to do. And she said they didn't mess with me. They messed with other people, but they didn't mess with me. And I think it's kind of interesting that even an atheist can find something that will work by just thinking about positive attitude and positive mental energy. That's something that certainly helped. It really did help her in that situation. So yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of weird stuff that can go on, and we have to find some way to correct that, or keep people, or keep spirits from bothering us, causing us harm. So that was kind of an interesting experience, and I'm now allowed to use her name on that. She's a sweet girl, really is. And she said, "I just always think about you and my positive energy, and that seems to keep things away from me." I said, "That's good to know. That's something I'm glad I can tell people." And I've also heard, and this is fairly interesting and new practice, is that if you are ever being abducted by aliens, if you start talking about God or Jesus and telling them to save you out loud to them, and apparently they will go away very quickly. If you start doing that,
I don't know if that's so. I wouldn't say that's entirely accurate. Have you watched the film The Fourth Kind?
No,
with Mia Jovovich? It's a documentary on a alien abduction, in which she was put under hypnosis. It's based on a true story. She was put under a hypnosis to recount her being abducted by the aliens, because they took her daughter, and then they took her, right? And it was very chilling. There was a point in the film recounting what she was recounting under hypnosis, what she was going through, right? And she was pleading for them to give back her daughter, and said, "Please, God, no, 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 please, God, no." And the response that she got from that alien was, "No, we are your God now." And
yeah.
It kind of hit me when that went down. I was like, "Yo, wait a minute, if I didn't know any better, that's evil. That's not amazing." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it really makes you think. It really makes you think. You know what I mean? Because just like with ghosts and spirits and all that we've talked about in the past and all that. Yes, as we very well know, things aren't always what they seem. Right.
Right. Absolutely.
That the same thing applies to some of these alien abductions. Like, things may not be what we think they are, if you know what I'm saying. So it really raises a lot of question marks.
Yeah.
But I remember watching that scene, and it just like, yo, wait a minute. You know, something's wrong with this picture, you know?
Yeah.
It very much is, and you just have to be careful. But I had been, in fact, this knowledge came to me from, do you remember Lynn Myers that was up at one of our Tennessee Bigfoot conferences?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be hard to forget him, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the one that told me that. And I asked a representative from MUFON, "Well, why don't you talk about that?" And, you know, and the remark was,
well, you might want to have him check out this documentary.
Okay.
Shoot me
an email and just let me or a text and let me know what it was, and I'll certainly get I'll shoot that over to him. I haven't talked with him in a while. Probably need to.
Yeah.
Good for the soul. Yeah. I will do that. But anyway, we've all had some interesting stories. And Devin, if you want a ghost to pop up in your in your place, well, you might can get one, but just be careful now. You never know what's going to happen.
That's true.
Yeah, we really will. So I think it looks like our guest might have been delayed at work. I think he may have actually had some car trouble, which is what the text that I received from him. So I guess what we'll say is we've had a good time talking about some ghost stories. And next week I have got an email into our new favorite ghost hunter, a buddy of yours and mine, Papa Stro, Brady Hicks. How long has he been doing this now?
How long has
he been doing ghost hunting?
Ghost hunting?
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how long he's been ghost hunting, but I know he's with the broadcast bit for quite a while.
Yeah, but he showed me some pictures of ghosts last week, and I thought that was pretty cool. So anyway,
He went to Canada and that got his feet wet, got his interest up about the ghost hunting and everything. I do know that much. So
now, do they actually have ghosts in Canada?
I've heard some stories.
Now that's a joke, and that's a joke right out of South Park. It's meant affectionately because we have friends from Canada that we deal with all the time, and we had just a wonderful interview 2 weeks ago with Robin Sun Moon, who's a spiritualist and cryptozoologist.
Oh,
from Canada.
Robin Moonshadow. Robin
Moonshadow.
Moonshadow.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I never can get that right, but I know she's Robin just like you, and she's a wonderful lady. So
she's wonderful.
It looks like we might have to, because we want to give Shane plenty of time. And in fact, this was going to be a warm up. He's going to be doing this very same thing on Saturday afternoon at the Lizard Man Festival, which is going to be live from this Friday to Saturday. And now on Friday, it's going to feature the star of that show is going to be Lyle Blackburn, our buddy who wrote the book Lizard Man, The True Story of the Bishopville Monster. And then Friday evening, our one and only Papa Stro, he has been doing – tell everybody, Papa Stro, what you've been doing on Friday evenings at midnight.
Well, every Friday night now at midnight, I have a special show on my Facebook, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro, called The Stro Zone, in which I've been showing different, sci-fi and horror features. And this coming Friday night's feature will be The Bat, starring Vincent Price. So be sure to tune in this Friday night at midnight.
Truly one of the great classics. And you have a co-host, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Dorothy's my co-host. She's great.
She's your little. Your little. She's something else.
Yeah. She's in the show. She's always getting into mischief. So who knows what she'll be doing this week with the feature being the bat. So.
That's right. And I'm sure you're working on a wonderful special feature for us for a week from this Friday night at midnight, which will be the Lizard Man. You will be our Friday night entertainment.
Yeah, and so I hope Lizard Man breaks out the popcorn. So it should be fun.
We'll do our best. We'll see if we can't get him to break out the popcorn. And believe it or not, everybody on the show tonight is on the panel. First of all, we got Robin. She's going to be talking about Mind Sneaky Bigfoot. She's going to be going on right after Lyle Blackburn, and then going on right after you. Now Papa Stro will be leading us off at I believe 12 o'clock noon on Saturday. He's going to be doing just talking about his life and his career and all the cool things, and he'll be taking some Q&A questions. And then right after Pop Stro will be the one and only Devin Tate. He and I have put together some information on the lizard people of Los Angeles. So Devin's going to be talking about that. So Robin follows our star for Friday, which is Lyle Blackburn. Devin stars our leadoff star on Saturday with Papa Stro, and that's going to be a lot of fun. And we have some other speakers. I'm going to be on there. I don't know what I'm going to be talking about, the Lizard Man new book. And we're just going to have a blast. And then Friday night at midnight, Papa Stro and Dorothy are going to let us enjoy a horror film with them. and I bet it'll be a lot of fun. And I'll ask Lizard Man if he'll bring the popcorn out. But a lot of people are excited about it. We've got a lot of new friends and fans on Facebook, and we're going to really be – I've got a whole big press release coming out tomorrow. Papa Stro, we're looking forward to having you be the headliner. Actually, you're the headliner Friday night and Saturday. And then, Robin, you and I will be following good old Lyle Blackman. So we're going to have a grand time. So I guess what I'll say to you is maybe starting a little bit in a little bit early, but Sean will he'll be with us next Saturday. Devin, I think he follows you. He's going to get his spirit box out, and he's going to do a Facebook Live for us, and we're going to hopefully talk to some spirits. And now, Robin, I might ask you to be around and listen to that and see what we can find out. I think it'll be an extremely interesting 2 days and an evening with Papa Stro. So we're going to have a lot of fun.
Cool.
So I want to say thank you to my friends. You know, it's funny. They were my co-hosts a long time ago. Now y'all are my friends. So thanks to my friends for being here. We'll have Shane back very soon. As I said, I think something happened and he was detained at work. So I want to say thanks to my friends, buddies, pals, and everything else for being here on ScaryCast. So like Papa Stro tells us, teaches us how to do, at the end of the show, what we're going to do is do a plug and get out of here. So Papa Stro, since you're the maestro and you know how to do a plug better than anybody, give us your plug and what's your plug in for this coming week.
Okay, Dust Series, as I started as a chief, is now on Avail TV. Check us out on availfilms.com, availfilms.com, and it's syndicated to Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire TV. And be sure to check out this Friday night, Papa Stro's Throw Zone at midnight, Eastern Standard Time, on my official Facebook page, facebook.com/throwthemaestro. This Friday night's feature will be The Bat, starring Vincent Price. And Lizard Man Festival coming up June, is it 12 and 13th? Right?
12 and 13th. You are midnight of the 12th, and then you're at, I believe, noon on the 13th on Saturday.
Awesome.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
LizardManFestival.com.
You got it right there. All righty. We'll go to Robin, and then we'll go to Devin, and then I'll wrap the show up. Wrap it around my throat. Robin, what you got to plug, or what you got good going on?
Oh, my gosh. Well, now that things are – I don't think things are calming down from COVID, but I've got stuff going on with you. We've got the online conferences, hopefully some ones where we're going to be physically going out to them. Just – plugging away, working with the Bigfoots, out in the woods with them, working with people. I've got some great people that contact me to help them and to work with them, not that they always need my help. And I'm just loving it. I mean, in this field, you get connected with the people that you really need to be connected with. And I've been just really blessed. I've met some of the most amazing people that are such a blessing in my life. Like, without being in this avenue and in this research, I would never have met.
Well, that's great. We're glad you have such wonderful people in your lives. And we have you in our lives, and we're always thrilled to have you with us on ScaryCast and Murder 123. Along with Papa Stro's with us on Murder 123. And this week now, and I think it's the perfect time for me to plug, and then I'm going to talk and let Devin talk, and then I'll wrap it up. But this coming Monday night, in fact, all three of you are hosts. This feels like Murder 123, along with Tony Filosi. We're going to talk about Richard Speck, who killed 9 nurses in Chicago, and Chaz Moretti and his wife were in and around that area when it was happening. So they've got some kind of real-world experience on what it felt like to be in Chicago back then. And he also has an anecdotal story or two about Jeffrey Dahmer, who was our topic of discussion for 2 weeks. So it's going to be a blast. Richard Speck, serial killer, and information about Jeffrey Dahmer, all from Chaz Moretti, our buddy through Papa Stro and WCW Retro. Papa Stro, thank you very much. I appreciate you introducing me to him. And Devin, what have you got going on this week?
Hey, John, I am deep into the research for our Lizard People of Los Angeles portion of the Lizard Man Festival. So I've been doing a lot of reading and research, and then this weekend Dylan and I are going to go downtown to see if we can find any of the entrances to the tunnels where the lizard people allegedly buried all their gold. So we're going to be documenting that and sharing that with you at the Lizard Man Festival.
All right. Well, now let
That's
me ask
awesome.
You this. If you guys find
nice.
Any of it, will you give us at least just a little bit of it? All your three buddies on this show right now, will you give us just a little
you
bit?
You know it. You know it. You'll get the exclusive preview.
Okay, great. Well, look, thanks a lot. Thanks to all my friends for being here. It's Dr. John from beautiful, sunny Myrtle Beach, which is fairly calm right now. And I won't mention what I saw today. We will not do that. So it might be a hint of things to come, but we don't know. Anyway, thanks a lot for being here with us. We love you. The Scary Cast. All three of us and Tony, we'll see you next. What is it? Next Monday night on Murder 123, 10 p.m. Eastern. Richard Speck and more reflections on Jeffrey Dahmer with Chaz Moretti and his wife. Thanks a lot, everybody. It was great seeing you.
Take care.
And talking to you. We'll
Thank
talk
you, everybody.
To you. We'll talk to you very soon, whatever that means. Bye-bye.
Good night,
Bye-bye.
All.
Good night, everybody.